Please pray with me. So, Father, we acknowledge that you are here among us as we meet in the name of Jesus, and we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you who inspired the scriptures are here to help interpret those scriptures. And so by your grace, this day your word would be faithfully preached and faithfully heard. We pray in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. This is the fourth Sunday of Advent. It's not Christmas. It's the prelude to Christmas. It's the preparation for Christmas. It's the story that gets us ready for the coming of the child. And in our lectionary as Anglicans, we've always focused on the fourth Sunday of Advent on Mary, the mother of Jesus. It's the most familiar story ever told. It's the most familiar story in the Bible and maybe ever in the history of the world, how the angel Gabriel came to Mary in Nazareth and proclaimed to her that she was to give birth to the Son of God, to God incarnate. And how Mary pushes back on that and says, but how can that be? I'm a virgin. And the angel says to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the most power from on high will overshadow you, and you will give birth to this Son. And Mary responds to that by saying, let it be to me according to your word. I'm a servant of God. All about Mary is very commendable, isn't it? I mean, everything we know about her in this story is laudable. Everything about Mary shows her to be a hero. We love Mary for so many reasons. She's poor, and she lives in Nazareth, an unknown town, and she's poor in spirit. That means she's humble, and she's ready and accessible to God. She's terrified in the presence of this angel, and as she's terrified in the presence of the angel, shows us her humanity and shows us someone we can relate to and engage with. We see in her courage to approach an angel, but also to be obedient to the word of God as God comes in this angel. And then she's obedient to the word. I'm a servant of the Lord, she says. Let it be to me according to your word. I think we're tempted in this gospel lesson to say that Mary is a hero and we like everything about her, so be like Mary. But if we do that, we'll miss the gospel lesson altogether, because everything about Mary points beyond Mary to the one she will carry and bring into the world. The gospel is what makes Mary's life meaningful. It takes Mary's life and lifts her life up above the meaninglessness of everyday life into the story of God. Mary's has found her life purpose in God's purpose. And her joy is in his story, and her surrender is in his story, and her meaning is in the light of living in God's plan for her life and for the life of the world, to reach the world. You see, it's not the story of Mary, and it's not the story of Gabriel, but it's the story that they point to. It's the story of Jesus. Leonard Bernstein, a famous orchestra conductor, was once asked, what's your favorite instrument or what's the hardest instrument to play? He said, second fiddle. And then he goes on to say, but if no one plays second fiddle, even though everyone wants to play first, if no one plays second fiddle, we have no harmony. And so without any hesitation, Mary, in this gospel lesson, says, I'm second fiddle. She says, I'm a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And here's what the angel Gabriel says to Mary about this child that she will birth and bring into the world. First, he says to her, you'll name him Jesus, Yeshua, Joshua, Savior. In Hebrew, it's Redeemer. So even before we get to the greatness of who this child will be or the power that this child will bring, we have the mission that he will establish. He's going to come to save the world and save us from our sins and save us from oppression. So he's the Savior of the world. And secondly, Gabriel says he will be great among you. He will be great. John Piper says it in this way. He says, take all the world's greatest thinkers and put them in a room with Jesus, and they would shut their mouths to listen to the wisdom of his greatness. And the great generals, put them in a room with Jesus, and they would listen to his strategy. And the great musicians, they would listen to his music theory and listen to him perform every instrument that's ever been created and those who haven't that haven't been created, and he would outshine them all. And then he says this, there's nothing that Jesus can't do 1,000 times better than the person you most admire in every area of human endeavor under the sun. Words fail Gabriel. And so all he says at this point, his announcement to Mary is, he will be great. He will be great. And then Gabriel goes on to tell Mary this. He says, he will be Son of the Most High. And before, we already heard that he would be conceived by the power of the Most High. And so his identity, Jesus' identity, is in relationship to the Most High God. We know him because he's going to become God's only son. He is God's only son. We know him because he's identified by his relationship with the Most High God. And next, the angel Gabriel says this about Jesus to Mary. He says, he will sit on the throne of his father David. He will sit on the throne of David. That means he will become king, king of this kingdom that God has brought into the world when Jesus is born. He will be king over those who submit to his kingship. He will be king over all those who acknowledge his kingship. And lastly, this angel Gabriel says this to Mary about Jesus. His kingdom will never end. His kingdom will never end. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. He who never had a beginning will never have an end. He is eternal, and his eternal preexistence is made manifest in the glory of God shining into the world when this baby will be born in Bethlehem. You see how Gabriel is painting an amazing picture of who Jesus will be and become. In his description to Mary of who he is, he will be great. He will be named Jesus. He will be Son of the Most High God. He will sit on the throne of his father David. His kingdom will have no end. Mary's whole purpose is to understand and to point to the one who will show this greatness to the world. And so Mary hears Gabriel and listens to him. She pushes back and says, how can it be? How is it possible? Because I'm not married. And the answer to her is, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and you will give birth to the hope of the world. And then she says, my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. She says, I'm a servant of God. Let it be to me according to your word. The story is about Jesus, and Mary's purpose in the story of God is to point our attention to this amazing child to be born. Friedrich Frederick Buechner talks about the angel Gabriel in a book of sketches about those who surround the Christmas story. And Buechner says this about Gabriel. He says, and he puts his words in Gabriel's mouth. He says, "She struck him, Gabriel, as hardly old enough to have a child at all, let alone this child. But he had been entrusted with a message to give her, and he gave it to her. He told her what the child was to be named, who he was to be, and something about the mystery that was to come upon her. 'You mustn't be afraid, Mary,' the angel Gabriel said to her." And as he said it, he only hoped that she wouldn't notice that beneath the great gold wings, he himself was trembling with fear. To think that the whole future of creation hung on the answer of a girl. And in this sketchbook of characters surrounding the Christmas story by Frederick Buechner is a picture, a drawing of this angel from behind. And you see his hands behind him and his fingers are crossed. And Mary responds, "I'm a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen."